No matter how old you are, sometimes you just got to get away. And when I was in high school, that meant backpacking trips in our local mountains with friends. But one Friday, on what just might have been my first solo trip ever, I got home from school pissed off about something or someone, spontaneously packed my gear in my pack, hopped on the RTD bus heading up Roscoe Boulevard, transferred once, maybe twice. And within a couple hours, I was in La Crescenta trying to catch a ride up the Angeles Crest Highway, which winds and climbs its way through the San Gabriel Mountains. I got dropped off somewhere between Buckhorn Campground and the Cracked Ridge Ski Area, the high country of the San Gabriel Mountains, about 6,000 feet up at the highway. It was late afternoon, so I hoofed it as fast as I could along a trail for about 3 miles. Then I struck off trail up a narrow and nameless canyon, determined to make it to the ridgeline by nightfall and determined to be alone. It was spring, so there was still quite a bit of snow, especially in those north-facing canyons. And whatever teenage angst had powered me into the mountains that weekend couldn't get me to the ridge before dark. So I camped alongside the stream that rushed down that narrow canyon, and I fell asleep listening to the water and looking at the stars. When I woke up, it was foggy and more dark, more nighttime than day. So I decided to eat my breakfast on top of the ridge. And as I crunched my way through that early morning snow, the slope got steeper and the fog around me glowed brighter and brighter. And I climbed out of the fog and I saw the ridge in the near distance outlined against the pre-dawn sky. And when I got there, I forgot all about breakfast because I had discovered an island in the sky. A thick blanket of clouds had rolled in overnight, covering the entire LA basin from the mountains to the sea. And it looked like a sea. It had surrounded the ridge I was on, turning it into an island, and the nearby peaks and ridges also. And the clouds were still rising like the tide, creeping further inland through the canyons and the passes. And as the clouds rolled past the ridges, waves of vapor broke against them like the bow waves on a ship. But instead of splashing back into the sea, they swirled down into the clouds and then curved back up again in big spirals like the horns on a ram. And I wanted to see if my ridge had a bow wave or if it had horns. So I dropped my pack and I hurried down that ridge. The clouds were still rising, and so was the sun, and the sky and the clouds were glowing red to my left as I hurried down that ridge. And as hard and fast as I ran, I just couldn't seem to reach those clouds. It was like trying to walk into a rainbow or trying to reach the speed of light. I just kept getting closer and closer, but I couldn't quite get there. And then I realized I could no longer see the tops of the clouds. So I turned around and I started running back up the ridge before the fog could steal my sunrise. And as I raced that fog up the ridge, I must have run right through that invisible wave of vapor. I'll never know for sure. But I do know that I outclimbed the fog. And as I boulder hopped back up that ridge, first light glinted off to my right. So I stopped and I watched as the sky and the clouds and the world lit up. And when I turned around, I saw my shadow. It stretched across the cloud tops as big as geography. And when I waved my arms, hundreds of yards away, my shadow waved back. My upper body was blurred by the clouds and by the distance. And it looked ridiculously small, perched on my long, skinny legs, which spanned an impossible length of sky. But my feet were buried, anchored deep in the shadow of the ridge I was standing on. I started walking along the ridge, and my shadow broke free and followed, striding across the clouds. And we roamed across that ridge and reached out and tried to touch as many of those distant peaks and ridges as we could. And the sun was getting higher and higher, and my shadow was getting smaller and smaller, and more defined and more focused. So I decided to make a hand shadow puppet on the clouds. Years before, I had bought a book on how to make hand shadow puppets at the Scholastic Book Fair. Because when I was a kid, we didn't have computers. And we didn't have internet. When I was a kid, we used to have to manipulate light with our bare hands. And I studied that book, and I practiced diligently for 3, maybe 4 days before relegating it to the bottom shelf of my bookcase next to the books on ventriloquism and magic. But my skills had atrophied over the years, and the angle from the sun to the clouds was tricky, and I couldn't do anything complicated like an eagle or a rabbit. I couldn't even do a bat. So I resorted to the one creature that I had figured out how to make on my own years before I got that book, the shadowy monster that we all know how to make instinctively because it dwells within the deepest reptilian recesses of our mind. I created the dinosaur. And it lived, huge and omnipotent. It reigned over that cloudy kingdom, searching for something, searching for anything to devour. But the sun was getting higher, and my shadow was getting smaller. And a dinosaur does not live by clouds alone. And neither do teenagers. So I climbed to the highest point on that ridge and ate breakfast. And I realized that if I would have brought friends with me, there is no way that I could have articulated my thoughts quick enough to try to argue with them, to try to convince them to chase shadows and to chase vapor. And as I sat there on that island in the sky, I learned that the most intimate and the most intense way to experience nature is alone. Thank you.